What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday. Phil Bredesen Region is open for voting today. It's been open for a couple of hours. You've got about 10 more hours. 9 o'clock tonight is when the polls will shut down. Eddie George, the one seed in the Phil Bredesen region, running away with it right now with 93% of the votes. A good one going on right now with the 8-9, John Jenkins and Steve Sullivan. John Jenkins right now has extended his lead, now 55% of the votes. 55% for John Jenkins to Steve Sullivan, 45%. Mike Fisher, the four seed, in control, 83% over Marcus Mariota. Albert Haynesworth, Kimmo Tiiminen, the 5-12 matchup, always a scary matchup for the five seed. Who is Albert Haynesworth? Right now that voting right at 50-50 between
too
Albert
close to call.
And Kimmo Tiiminen. How about that? Golden Tate, the six seed. I put him on upset alert from the get-go when we unveiled the bracket on Monday. Blaine Bishop, the 11 seed. 58% of the votes right now for Blaine Bishop. I called it, and so far we'll see how it plays out. A long ways to go right now. Kevin Dyson, I also said upset special. The 14 seed beating Ron Mercer right now with 73% of the votes. B-Hop, the 7 seed in control with 74% of the votes over Brandon Wright. And Mookie Betts right now with 64% to 36%. For Jordan Tutu. We say hello and good morning to Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
How's everything going with the family? How's everybody at home?
It's good to have everybody home. These are certainly, you know, different times for everybody. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, you have to limit how much news you can watch because it will bring you down so much just seeing what's going on across the country, especially in New York City and areas that have been hit harder than we've been hit here. Even though, obviously, we've got to be careful everywhere you turn. It's been nice having the kids back home and in the house. You know, my wife's a school teacher. She's been working from home, and I've been obviously been working from home. It's not a huge adjustment for me just because, you know, my days when I worked at the Tennessee, I worked at home most of the time during the off season. A little bit different. You know, since I started working with the team, I was in the building on a more regular basis. But still, the NFL, you know, keeps on trucking and has continued to stay busy with free agency and other moves and transactions that are taking place. And had a conference call with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel yesterday. So it hasn't really dried up from a news standpoint or for a work standpoint for me. It's just obviously a little bit different with the circumstances that everybody's dealing with, and I know we all hope and pray this will be, you know, we'll calm down, and life as we have come to know it will return in a not so distant future.
No doubt about it. And you're right. Thank goodness for the NFL and the Titans right now. They're the only news that we've got. So you mentioned, you alluded to John Robinson, the general manager, and the head coach Mike Vrabel speaking at length yesterday, and it's been a while since we've heard from both of them. What did you make of both of them talking for a long time?
Yeah, there's a lot of things to discuss. I mean, everything from just the new acquisitions and free agency to, you know, expressing a desire to want to get something done with Derrick Henry long term to talking about, you know, potential interest in Jadeveon Clowney, to the set of circumstances that they're dealing with, you know, leading up to the draft and during what's really an uncertain time as far as off season goes. So a lot of topics to discuss. And yeah, I think Robinson went 45, 50 minutes and Vrabel went 35 minutes. And, you know, a lot of interesting nuggets that came from it. And the reason that was done is you know, the owners' meetings obviously were supposed to take place this week in down in West Palm at the Breakers Hotel, and because those owners' meetings were canceled, you know, usually that was a time where Mike Vrabel was available at a coach's breakfast, and you heard from him, and John Robinson, you know, made himself available down there as well, and because those meetings didn't take place, you know, their teams, I think, were at least encouraged, or at least the league said, hey, it'd be great if you could make your coaches and GMs available to local media just to kind of give updates on what's going on so far in the offseason, since it had been a while. And I don't think a lot of teams did it, but I know, you know, the Titans did it, and I think, you know, it was good to hear from both of them on a lot of different topics during the time. Again, as you guys know, it's you know, not a lot going on in the sports world other than the NFL right now.
What did you make of John Robinson's comments about the Jarrell Casey trade?
Well, I know he agonized over that one, just because, not that it was agonized because it was a hard decision, and I think it was more just because of how much respect he has for Jarrell Casey and all he has done for the team and for the community. I mean, Jarrell's been one of the better guys that's ever been around here, as you guys know. I mean, he's been a great player. You know, he went to, you know, been named to 5 Pro Bowls, should have been 7. He turned down 2 when he was an alternate early in his career because he didn't want to go as an alternate. And if he would have, he'd have 7-time Pro Bowl attached to his name. And he was a 2-time Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner. So it's tough to bid farewell to a guy like that. But, you know, it was the decision there was not about trading for equal compensation. I mean, obviously, when you're trading for a 7th-round pick for Jarrell Casey, that's not a fair trade. But it was more than about that. It was about the money that he had coming to him and was scheduled to make over the course of the next couple of years, and the cap hit that was going to take place because of that, and also projecting just what you think he will do moving forward. And I think it was a business decision there that certainly finances came into play. And, you know, I just think he felt like it was just time to turn the page. And, you know, hate to see Jarrell go, but that's kind of why it was done.
Yeah, as do all of us. Looks like Adam Schefter has tweeted out that Derrick Henry has signed his franchise tender today, that which is set for $10.2 million. Obviously, the two sides, as John Robinson said yesterday, still trying to work through a long-term extension. I think they've got till the middle of July to do that. Is it just simply your guess and our guess that it's just all about a number, and that's the only thing holding? I mean, it looks like both sides. I mean, we know Derrick Henry's game. John Robinson wants a long-term deal. He has said it. But do you think they're close? Do you think there's a gap? Do you think there's a lot of work that needs to take place from now until whenever they get this done? Do you think that they're close?
Is the deadline.
July 15th, yes, the middle of July.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're close. I mean, I don't think that this is one that's actively being negotiated with, you know, in, you know, round the clock right now, just because it doesn't have to be. I mean, John Robinson made it very clear he wants Derrick Henry here long term, but you know, right now there's such a focus on what's going on in free agency and what's going on in the draft, and And, you know, it's been made clear to Derek, and I think Derek's made clear to the Titans he wants to be here. So I think those will pick up, as maybe you get a couple other things in the rear view mirror. Right now, I'm not involved in those, and I don't deal with the agents like I used to, but hey, you guys give me 1 minute here. So I got somebody that keeps banging up my door. give me a 10-second pause.
Sure. Okay. Now this is exactly what happens when everybody's working from home. So this is just real life, right? This is what everybody's doing. Apparently, during the press conference yesterday, John Robinson received a package of the Amazon guy coming to the door or something, dropping something off. He rang the doorbell in the middle of the conference call. So this is just par for the course. This is life as we see it right now.
By the way, guys, John Jenkins is really starting. I mean, I think Steve Sullivan, this is a good time for a timeout. Like, he needs a timeout, like a full timeout.
A 20. He needs a 20 at least.
No, not a 20. He needs a full timeout, not a 20.
You're giving him the full signal.
He
okay.
needs a full timeout. 57% right now for John Jenkins.
So I'm back.
Go ahead, Jim.
And that's the kind of thing you deal with. You're working from home, obviously. We had the conference call yesterday when John Robinson was on with us, and his doorbell rang, and he kind of made a joke that it was an Amazon package being dropped off, and he had like 9 million of them in the last week or so, and said they had any trouble keeping the recycling bin full. This guy, I don't know exactly what he's doing, some kind of a survey, and he knocked at my front door twice, went around all the way to my back door, knocked. So I told him, hey, I'll be off this interview with 102.5 The Game in about 5-10 minutes, and I'll be right back to you. So that's what you're dealing with when you're working from home and people know you're home. So
he's going to wait for you.
That's right.
Is that what you're telling us? He's going to wait?
Yeah, he was going to start banging on the windows. He is going to wait. Yeah, and I think he actually said he might go back to his car and tune in. But I think we were talking about Henry, and I think both sides have made it clear that they want to get it done. And again, I'm not checking with the agents like I used to. I was with the Tennessee team, where I had a better feel for just how far the two sides might be apart on what they see as fair value and how long it would be. But I think the important thing is they both want to get it done, and there's time to get it done. And we'll just see what transpires there.
All right, Jim, we were following this. We were doing our show yesterday while this was going on, and yeah, I mean, there was really a lot of material there, and so we could go on for a long time. But we were both curious. A lot of people tweeted the quote when somebody, and I don't know who it was, that asked John Robinson, had there been talks with Tom Brady? And there were two versions of the quote. No, we signed Ryan Tannehill, or just flat out, we signed Ryan Tannehill. In other words, not really answering yes or no. What did you hear?
I'd heard we signed Ryan Tannehill. Well, I can pull up the transcript and see exactly what it says here as we're speaking. I think he was making it very clear that Tannehill was the guy all along, and that's what I believe was the case. I mean, I don't think it's – I know there was a lot of speculation about Brady, and I'm trying to get to this quote just to see if it even made the transcript. It might not even make the transcript. No, it just says the transcription says, question on if he had any conversation with Tom Brady representation, it just says we signed Ryan Tannehill, and that's what I remember it being. So, I mean, Tannehill was the guy all along, and I know there's a lot of media speculation about that and how much interest there would be, and when John Robinson and Mike Vrabel didn't necessarily endorse Tannehill at the owners' meet. I mean, I'm sorry, at the combine in February. I think a lot of people thought, well, maybe that the door was open for Brady. I just think that was part of the whole negotiating process. And and if you're trying to get Ryan Tannehill on a contract, and he thinks there's potential, there's another quarterback you have interest in, maybe that helps speed the deal up and helps it get done. So. I firmly believe Tannehill was the guy all along, and the Brady stuff was just rumor mill stuff.
Yeah, so but you can see why somebody would ask the question, did they even kick the can and talk to them? So I thought it was legitimate to try to say, I mean, looks like he chose not to really go down that road. I think you can be both, right? You could have maybe kicked the can, but still in your mind wanted Tannehill all along, and you knew that was the play. from the start.
Yeah, but if my memory's right, in my memory, I guess it shouldn't be that bad because it's only a month ago. But Tannehill's deal got done before the kind of legal tampering period had begun. So
right.
If he says yes, we talked to Brady, then he's guilty of tampering. So he couldn't have necessarily kicked the can on Brady the way things played out because he wasn't allowed to talk to him at that point. Now, we all know the friendship that Mike Vrabel and Tom Brady have, and everyone saw the FaceTime call there. I just think they regularly communicate. But as far as John Robinson actively gauging interest or talking to Brady, you know, legally, I don't think he couldn't have even done that.
Well, Jim, one person he was willing to talk about who was out there, he did offer that they have had discussions with Jadeveon Clowney's representatives. And I don't know that every GM would do that. So I thought it was interesting that he was open and being able to say, yeah, we have an interest and sort of, you know, saying at least to that degree. So now we know that that he's in play.
He's in play, but it's just a matter of what the money looks like and how much sense it makes, because, you know, Clowney initially, as you guys know, you know, looking for $20 million a year, and now he's come down to $18 million a year. And, you know, if you're the Titans and you've got, you know, some other positions that still have needs, can you afford a guy that much money for a year? I mean, I guess it'd be great to have him. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, you pair him and have him with Beasley and Landry, who's getting better, and Simmons. I mean, that's some pretty good weapons to have in the front seven. But, you know, at what cost? And I think that's what you've got to really wrestle with right now is just, you know, what can you do there that makes sense? And I think with Clowney, I don't think anybody really knows. We've seen that he's lowered from 20 to 17, 18 million, but is he willing to go lower than that? I mean, I'd be curious to see whether there's any wiggle room there to have a deal that makes sense. But, you know, there's no question you'd love to have him. I think a lot of teams would love to have a guy like that. It's just a matter of what a deal would look like. And I have been of the opinion, to be honest with you, that I'll be surprised if he leaves Seattle, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Talking to Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com. And speaking, you know, he also brought up Logan Ryan, as we alluded to, that they've had conversations with his representatives. Are you surprised, Jim, that we're this far into free agency and Logan Ryan is still available? Because I am.
Yeah, I thought he'd go sooner, but, I mean, I think, you know, he has been pretty firm in his contract wishes as well, and wanting around $10 million a year. And I just don't, you know, based on the fact he's still out there, tells me that maybe teams have not agreed to meet him there. So that's another one of those deals where, you know, we'll see how much wiggle room he has. I'd love to see him back here. I mean, he's a great guy. I think he's a good guy to have in a locker room, good player on Sundays, great off the field presence, not only in leading workouts with teammates, but also all the work he does in the community. So you'd love to keep a guy like that, but you know, I'll be curious to see how that one plays out. I mean, the team needs help there. You got Malcolm Butler. You've got, you know, obviously Dory Jackson, who they have to make a decision on with his option coming up later this year for 2021. But then the cover's pretty bare. I mean, Sims is gone. Ty Smith, you know, same boat. I mean, you've got to help yourself there. And whether or not now it's time they start looking at the draft or try to go a little bit stronger toward Logan as we get closer to the draft, those are things I'm curious to see what happens as well.
And last one for me, Vic Beasley gets brought in, and I know John Robinson brought up Mike Vrabel and that Vrabel played the position and can help there. But I'm curious of your thoughts on that signing, because if he's the 2016 Vic Beasley, then it's a home run. But we also know that he hasn't quite lived up to the potential. And what do you see, or how do you see the relationship with Mike Vrabel being?
Yeah, I mean, I do think Beasley is a guy that can really help. And they said they plan to hone his skills, once they get him in the building. And like you said, in his career, he's been a Pro Bowler, he's been an All Pro, but has not done that consistently. And now you're facing an off season where you don't know how much you're going to be able to work with him, whether you have OTAs and mini camps or not, and that's unfortunate because you'd like to have extra time with him just to kind of get him in the system and get him used to what you're doing.
Darren?
Did we lose Darren?
I think we lost Darren.
Oh, man, this is tough. All right, now, Jim.
Sorry, I had myself on mute. My bad.
Okay.
My bad.
I was going to ask the question on the way out, Darren, if we lost you here. I'm sure you were going to ask the same thing. Is the guy still at Jimmy's door?
Well, that's what I'm
waiting.
I actually had a really good line. I'll just, I was saying, whoever is waiting for Jim out in their car listening to this interview, we are done. Jim's coming your way.
He can come back.
Just get ready. You can come back. Get out of your car. Start heading to Jim's house. He's going to be available.
He's actually here. I'm standing 6 feet away from him here. We got good social distancing here. My
very good.
He was patient enough to wait for me. So,
wow. Well, thanks for
Barnes Electrical Inspection.
Well, thanks for doing this. You and your family be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you guys have a great day. Thank you.
All right, you too. Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com is where you can find his work. Willie, you're going to talk about Lee Company, and then we're going to come back and hear some from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, who spoke, as you heard in this interview, at length yesterday. But we'll have some of that, some good stuff on the other side.
All right, let's talk about Lee Company. Remember, I always try to give you all the different things, and I don't even hit the entire spectrum at all times, but I try to give you some different ways that you can utilize the great services of Lee Company, including the home maintenance plan. So I'll talk about that one today. The air conditioning unit in your home is about to get utilized a lot. In fact, we've already used it a little bit. You know, last week it did get up to 80 degrees at one point. So make sure that thing is running properly. And if you haven't had it checked in a while, it's a good idea to call Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to call. And remember, Lee Company not only can help your air conditioning unit, but your heating unit, your plumbing service, and your electrical service. And that's the idea behind the home maintenance plan. A small monthly fee, about $12 a month in a lot of cases, sometimes a little bit less. And you'll get the 4 phone calls and the 4 yearly annual, I guess that's redundant, the annual checkups with all 4 of those systems. And if and when repairs need to be made, you will get discounts on those repairs. It's all Lee Company. LeeCompany.com is the website. And once again, the phone number, 615-567-1000. Ask about the home maintenance plan. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. We are back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Willie Donick here with you, and as we just got done discussing with Jim Wyatt, who summarized a lot, there was about an hour's worth or so of discussion, conference call-wise, from John Robinson, GM of the Titans, and head coach Mike Vrabel of the Titans. A lot of questions that everybody had yesterday that had not faced the media in a long time. The one piece of news that has happened since this press conference is that Derrick Henry has signed the franchise tender, which is interesting because in a normal year, you would figure most players that get tagged wait a while before signing the franchise tag. But Derrick Henry has gone ahead and signed it because this isn't a normal year. You figure that the offseason program is not going to happen, and so it really doesn't make any difference. You might as well just sign now. So that's a speculation that a lot of people have had. But an intriguing part of it, and it still doesn't mean, of course, that the team or that the two can't come together and sign a long-term deal at some point here before they play a game. But let's give you a little more flavor of what happened at the press conference yesterday, because I know a lot of you that follow the Titans are going to want to know what's going on with the team as they close in on the draft later this month.
Good afternoon. Hope everybody's safe and taking care of your loved ones. Like I am trying to do, and so many others. The COVID-19 pandemic has made this time very scary, very real. I want to stress how important it is to stay at home and stay healthy and safe. Do everything that we can individually and as an organization to try to spread that message. It's just something that needs to be taken very seriously. Something that I don't know if we're ever ready for, but we have to adjust to every distraction and make sure that we're doing everything that we can as a team and as an organization to make that as safe as it is for our players and our employees. Acknowledge our heroes in the hospitals. I think that as a society and as a team, if we can exhibit the same type of courage and commitment that those people are right now, I think we'll all be in a much better place. I've been in contact with our players and trying to make sure that they're keeping their families safe and healthy, and also trying to do the best that they can to mentally and physically prepare themselves for an off season here that's going to look pretty different. We don't know what that is, but it's going to be different, and we'll adjust to whatever that may be. So I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you guys, and we'll go from there.
So, Teresa, if you want to get us started.
Mike, glad that you're
– Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Hope you're doing well and keeping your family safe. With this unknown, as you've been able to keep so many players on this team, but with the draft coming at the end of the month, what are you trying to do to make sure that players – the off-season program would have started in a couple weeks. How do you make sure that they work out to the specifications of Todd and Frank and stay healthy? And how do you maybe communicate that once you have new players that join the team?
Well, Teresa, I don't worry. I don't have concern about what these players are going to look like physically. I believe that self-motivation is the core to any team success. And I know and I'm positive that we have self-motivated players that will be doing whatever they possibly can right now. And we're also, whenever we get them back and we see them physically in our building, whenever that may be, Todd and Frank and I have already talked about, making sure that there's some level of evaluation or physical evaluation, that we're just not throwing these guys in. I know that the health of the team is the most important thing. Some guys will have access to more in-home equipment, or maybe they own a gym that they're the only, whatever the situation may be. But we're going to be conscious of what their level is when they come back in. We're also working through what that may look like to remote or digital or virtual learning to try to make sure that our coaches are the best possible teachers in this time. And making sure that our players can have access to the information that we would normally present them with when we get back to the off-season program, whenever that may be.
Teron?
How's it going, Coach?
Good. How are you guys? You hanging in there, Teron? How's your daughter?
Yes, sir. Yeah, all three of them are doing well. So I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned self-motivation, and with bringing Vic Beasley in, obviously it's a clean slate, but that was one of the things that kind of he was tagged with in Atlanta. How do you feel that you could help push that self-motivation and get him back to the guy that he was when he led the league in sacks?
Well, I mean, that's our job, is to have a vision for the player and coach him and hold him to a standard that's expected of our players. I'm not going to comment on what was done or what wasn't done in Atlanta. We're focused on moving forward, with Vic, with a skill set that we like, with a player that can run and has some speed, some explosiveness, some versatility, we believe. And then that's what I'll do. That's what Shane will do. That's what Matt Edwards will do. And there'll be a lot of people involved in helping him still continue to develop and try to find a role for us and ultimately help us win.
Paul Kaharsky.
Hey, Mike, Can Zubnar play linebacker? Can Sombrero play guard? Are those guys versatile that they can do more than they came in having done where they were?
Well, you know, Nick, and I think it's important when you talk about, you know, special teams or that position that you're referencing, Nick. You know, we're going to coach him. Like he's going to be in a linebacker meeting, and obviously he's going to have to be able to go in a game, much like all our other players that are going to be a backup. And that's probably where he's going to start. You know, he's probably going to start out as a backup linebacker, but that you can't just be a special teams player. You don't have enough roster spots. And I know that they're going to expand some of that stuff, but that's what they do. And if somebody goes down, and my guess is that the best ones that we've had, whether that be in Houston or here, are guys that can go in there and play both spots. You know, they're a premier special teams player, and that's their first role, but they can also, you know, back up at either inside linebacker spot. And so we coach him as such. You know, I don't think we can paint him as, hey, you're never going to go in the game as a linebacker. Whether he's gotten that opportunity or not, my thought process and our coaches will be that, you know, we'll coach him and he'll learn our defense, and you know, we'll see, just like everybody else, what that looks like when he gets out there. Ty is a versatile player who's played guard in this league, played tackle in this league, and so those are, you know, scheme fits that's familiar with the system, and somebody that we looked at last year potentially, but you know, didn't end up working. So we know where he's been and what he can do. And so I think there's some versatility up there that we covet when you talk about being able to play more than one position.
John said you've been in touch with Clowney to some degree. Based on your experience with him in Houston and kind of picking up on what TD said about Beasley, can you speak to his work ethic and maybe to his health issues that you saw while you were down there?
You know, first of obviously the health issue, that's not for me to decide. I know that when I coached JD was prepared. We did a lot with him. We had a lot of injuries 1 year. We put him in a lot of different places to try to help us affect the game. And then he played extremely hard. You know, when he played extremely hard, and I'm not sure if he missed any games that year or not, but you know, we put him in a lot of different places. We asked him to do a lot, and he did do a lot for us, you know. And so never had an issue with any of JD's effort on the field.
Tim Wyatt? I hope you're doing well, Mike. I guess we're dealing with so many uncertainties here with the virus and when the return might be, but how much more difficult is it going to be for players to get better if you're limited to just maybe a training camp with them this season?
I mean, that's what it'll be. If that's what it ends up being, Jim, you know, we don't complain. We don't, we try to figure out what the situation is, and we're going to make the best of it. We're going to be creative with whatever the rules are and whatever's best for our players. That's what we're going to do. We talked about last year. There's certain times where you have to try to improve as the season goes along without some of those reps. And so, you know, if whatever they say, we can get on the field or we can't get on the field. And, you know, we're going to try to make sure that our players are as prepared as they can possibly be. When that time comes for them to, you know, come back to our facility or engage in conversations with our coaches remotely.
And just a follow up for me, what is that like? A guy like yourself who's so hands on with coaches, what's it been like being away from them, having to deal with them maybe virtually this off season?
I've realized that I probably am not a very good person working at home. You know, that's something that, you know, you take for granted, the ability to be able to do that and not have that interaction. in different meeting rooms with your coaches, especially with the players. You know, when they'll come back, and they weren't due to come back till April 20th. But and I think you take for granted those men and women that work from home. But it's been good. We've been able to meet. We've been able to see coaches in their homes. John and I talk just like we do when we're in the building often. And I think everybody's just kind of working through that and trying to stay focused on what we need to do to improve and have our players ready to go mentally from a playbook standpoint in all three phases, and then also making sure that the draft prep and the conversations with the players and the coaches' opinions, are heard.
John Glennon.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, John.
Hey, I know we've seen you become, very involved over the, last couple of years when it comes to evaluating draft prospects. I know you like to get, hands-on a lot of times in that respect, too. Wondering what this evaluation period has been like for you, not being able to do that, and how much more challenging does that make the draft process when you can't look a guy in the eye and maybe bump around with him a little bit on a practice field too.
I think that's just something I enjoyed doing, and I thought it helped me with certain players, but you try to really study the tape. You try to study the player when you talk to him. We've been in contact with players. You try to reach out to strength coaches or coaches that and continue to try to build a profile of guys that you would want to put on our football team. I think that's something that very conscious of is the players that we bring on this team. Are they going to be able to exhibit the same characteristics that we've shown in 2 years? The demand that we place on the effort and finish and the ability to put the team first in all aspects. Those are difficult decisions when you don't have a lot of, interaction with players or personal interactions with them through this process.
Terry?
Hey, Mike. How much has Logan Woodside shown, I guess, at every stage, training camp, practice squad last year before he got hurt, that where if he does end up the backup, there's a ton of confidence there?
Sure, that's everybody's job. And is this Eric?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I thought he said Terry and maybe said Eric, sorry. Yeah, that's how you have to build. Again, confidence is built through routine, performances over an extended period of time. The body of work that we have for Logan is through the preseason and through practices, but his grasp as you watched him prepare while he was on injured reserve last year, watch him prepare mentally. I was very impressed with that, which is something that for a young player you have concern about sometimes, is can he stay engaged? But this was a player that was rehabbing while he was on injured reserve, stayed locked in, stayed focused in the meetings, and he was ready on the game plan. Pat would meet with him at the end of the week like he was going to play a football game, which I thought was great. And they have a really good relationship. And Arthur would, obviously spend a lot more time with Ryan and Marcus. But from a mental standpoint, we try to prepare Logan like he was going to go play a football game, even though he was rehabbing. And so now, we'll see what he looks like physically when we can get him back out there throwing, and then we'll make decisions. But that whoever ends up being on the roster, we have full confidence in. That they can go out there and do their job.
There you go. There's some of head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday. Wanted you to hear some of that press conference. We played you some of John Robinson, but wanted to hear the head coach. We'll come back, close shop on the second hour. B-Hop to kick off the third hour. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. One thing to keep in mind when a lot of you are working from home is that you can listen to us from anywhere as we all try to get through COVID-19, this pandemic that's going on in our country and around the world. You can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable Alexa skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. All great options here as we sit here. Speaking of that, when I said going on in the world, I don't know if you guys saw this. Probably not. It's not like I knew about it until a lady who's been cutting my hair for a long time texted me during the show today. She is from Taiwan. She goes back once a year for like 3 weeks. And she informed me that their pro baseball league is set to reopen and get going on April the 11th. They're going to do it for the first time ever with nobody in the stands. But the Taiwan Professional Baseball League has announced today that they are planning on playing games with no fans starting April 11th to begin their season. So we'll see if that still happens. Remember, the Chinese China tried to bring back their basketball league. It was delayed, and so it's going to go back away for a bit until they reassess. We'll find out if Taiwan, because remember, they were all doing this was all happening. They were in advance of us, so we are what, a couple months behind them.
Yep,
2.5 months probably behind them. So,
yeah, and I don't know how Taiwan would differ because that's a smaller area that might be easier to contain everybody. I don't know how many teams are in that league, but that would be a factor that I would want to know, because, you know, think about China as a whole and their basketball league and how much land that expands through. I would think it'd be a little bit easier to try to pull this off in Taiwan, but I think the whole world will be watching to see if they can pull it off, right?
Yeah, I don't really have many details. I've looked it up. I haven't found anything that says how many teams are in the league. The only thing, the significance of this and the reason I'm bringing it up is because right now, as we sit here today, like I said, it's not April 11th, so they haven't started. But if they were to actually start on April 11th, they would be the first professional baseball league in the world to start playing. So that's the reason I'm bringing it up. As of right now, they're the only one that's announced, hey, here's this date, and we are going to attempt to start playing games with nobody in the stands April the 11th.
It's going to be interesting. Wow. I wonder if we can watch somewhere, because, you know, that'd be something to watch. But
well, it'll be
and
news
I,
if it
I
happens.
I haven't studied.
Right? I mean, it will.
Has Taiwan gone through the wave, the curve, et cetera? Are they on the other side of the curve? I have not. They are. Okay.
She went there in January for 3 weeks. That's when she does her trip. And I asked her if it was going on then, and she said yes. And so they were dealing with it then. Now, obviously, you brought it up. It's a smaller, you know, small island, and so it's a little bit different. But she did say they were going through it whenever she was there for a visit in January.
I also saw, just
since
we're on the subject of baseball, I saw it on the ticker on ESPN that baseball has said that the bans that were, you know, levied to the Astros, A.J. Hinch being one of them, they will still, I mean, even though they're not playing games, it's still for this season. So after the 2020 World Series, his one season ban will be lifted. I thought that was interesting because he's basically serving a ban and they're not playing right now.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Just wanted to pass along that right now, I was just looking, the matchup that has received the most votes to this point in the Phil Bredesen region. Remember, we've got a little bit more than 9 hours to go before we close up shop on the Phil Bredesen region. It's the John Jenkins, Steve Sullivan matchup. That has garnered more votes today than the Eddie George matchup with Blake Jeffrion. Usually the one seeds have been getting the most attention and the most votes, but right now the 8-9 matchup of John Jenkins and Steve Sullivan has received more votes than anybody in the Phil Bredesen region. So,
and I'm watching that one, but I'm also watching the famed 12-5, because Kimmo Tiimonen right now has a slight lead over the 5-seed Albert Hainsworth, 51-49.
Well, we saw we've seen people start Johnny Cash, VU23. That is John Jenkins' plea for his fans to go vote for him. We have since then we have seen Hal Gill, aka Skillsy, ask folks to go vote for Kimmo Tiimonen. So there's been a push for Kimmo Tiimonen, and right now he is leading with 51% of the votes over Albert Hainsworth.
And Golden Tate starting to make some moves. Still Blaine Bishop, the 11 seed, in the lead, 58%, but Golden Tate up to 42% now. So he has cut into the deficit a little bit.
And our next guest that will start the next hour, Brad Hopkins, currently in control as the 7th seed, with 76% of the votes over Brandon Wright. So with that being said, we will come back with B-Hop to kick off the third hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase, and we do that next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.